All right, we're going to be speaking today about Kiddush HaChodesh, and through that, hopefully get an understanding of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, this phenomenon that we have, that we keep 2 days of Yontiv in Chutz Laretz, and even in Eretz Yisrael, for people visiting Eretz Yisrael who are from Chutz Laretz. Where did this become? So, how did this begin? So, the mitzvah d'orais that was given to Klal Yisrael, of HaChodesh HaZelachem Rosh Chodeshim, teaches us that Beis Din has a mitzvah to be Mekadesh the Chodesh, which means that it's not the astronomical reality which creates a new moon, a new month, Rosh Chodesh, but rather it's the proclamation of Beis Din that they say Mekudesh, Mekudesh, after having received witnesses in a morning who claim that the night before they saw the new moon. Now, Chazal calculated a lunar orbit takes 29 and a half days, which is how modern science also calculates it. So, that means that Rosh Chodesh could fall out in the middle of the day. And we're not, or when I say Rosh Chodesh, what I mean is that the molad, the new moon, when it finishes the orbit, the new moon can be seen in the middle of the day. But Rosh Chodesh is not going to begin in the middle of the day. So in a situation like that, where the molad would be seen in the middle of the day, the Edim, first of all, wouldn't see it in the middle of the day because it's light out. They would see it that night. They would come to Beis Din the next morning. And Beis Din would proclaim that day, meaning the night before and the day that they received the witnesses, would be Rosh Chodesh. Now, because of the lunar orbit, so the months are always either 29 days, meaning Rosh Chodesh is the 30th day, or 30 days, meaning Rosh Chodesh is on the 31st day. So either there would be 29-day month, and then the 30th day would become Aleph of the next month, because the Edim would come and testify. Or if Edim didn't come and testify and see that, say that they saw the new moon, so we would wait. So then the next day would be Rosh Chodesh, and then you didn't need the whole process of Edim because automatically the next day would be Rosh Chodesh. So this whole process of sanctifying the new moon based on Re'iyah, this lasted all the way, the Rambam tells us in the fifth parak of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, this went all the way until the time period of Ravan Abaye, which is well into the period of the Amorayim, where it means that the Re'iyah, the process of Re'iyah, took of sanctifying the new moon based on witnesses and seeing, actual seeing the new moon. So that was a process that went throughout all the times of the Beis, the two Beis HaMikdashes, all the way through the Tanoim into the time period of the Amorayim. And that was the ideal mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush HaChodesh. It's interesting what happened in the Midbar. Moshe Rabbeinu received this mitzvah when we were still in Mitzrayim. HaChodesh HaZelachem Rosh Chodeshim. Even though the halacha is that we are only Mekadesh the Chodesh in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, as a kiyum of the pasuk of Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, but the halacha happens to also accommodate a situation where you don't have the Gedolei Hador, or the biggest Chachamim, in Eretz Yisrael, like for instance during the time period of the Chorban, between the first and second Beis HaMikdash. So we're told by Chazal that they were Mekadesh the Chodesh in Bavel, Baruch Benaria, and Chezkel, and because there was no one Kimosam, there was no one of their stature in Eretz Yisrael through Mekadesh the Chodesh. So seemingly, Bizman Moshe Rabbeinu and in the Midbar, that they were Mekadesh the Chodesh, even though they were not yet in Eretz Yisrael. But be that as it may, I'm not 100% sure about that. Certainly, during the time period of the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, there would be Mekadesh the Chodesh al-Pi Re'iyah. I would imagine that this means that Rosh Chodesh, during this Zman Re'iyah, at least in Yerushalayim, it was always a one day. Rosh Hashanah itself was complicated because they had other things that they had to take care about. There's the mission about Niskalku, Levi, and Bashir, but a regular Rosh Chodesh L'chora was one day. The Beis Din would sit and wait. If Edim, they wouldn't bring a Korban Musaf until the Edim came. If Edim didn't come, the next day was Rosh Chodesh. If Edim did come, that day was Rosh Chodesh. It didn't have so many halachic nafkamina. So seemingly, Rosh Chodesh in Eretz Yisrael, or at least in Yerushalayim, was always one day, Bizman HaRe'iyah. But that's the first way of proclaiming the new month. That's Al-Pi HaRe'iyah, and that's the ideal way. Hillel HaNasi, not Hillel from Hillel and Shammai, but someone from his lineage. So he established a calendar. There was concerns of shmad, of persecution, and Hillel HaNasi established a calendar. And from then on, Rosh Chodesh was always either one day or 2 days, even in Eretz Yisrael. It was always 1 day or 2 days, and there were a number of factors that determined when it would be 1 day, when it would be 2 days. I think part of it might have had to do with trying to work out for the actual molad to fall out during a time period of Rosh Chodesh. There were other rules that they had to accommodate, like, for instance, Lo Adu Rosh, that Rosh Hashanah doesn't fall out on Sunday or Wednesday or Friday. So there were other rules that they had to try to accommodate, and they played with the calendar in order to make sure that they could fulfill those rules. But be that as it may, that was the second way of proclaiming Rosh Chodesh, Al Pi Cheshbon. And that's the way that we do it nowadays, where we have an established calendar, and we really know, when we have a two-day Rosh Chodesh, it's not because we have a suffix anymore. We know that the first day of a two-day Rosh Chodesh is part of the previous month, and Aleph is the second day of Rosh Chodesh. So when there's a one-day month, when there's a one-day Rosh Chodesh, it's Aleph, and when there's a two-day, so the second day is Aleph. So it's not it's not because of a lack of knowledge. So that's Lemaisa, the way Rosh Chodesh works. Now that's going to be important for Yom Tov Sheni Shel Olios, because when we think about it, since Bizman Beis Hamikdash and until the times of Rav and Abaye, since Rosh Chodesh was proclaimed based on Re'iyas Ha'edim, so what that meant was that whoever was privy to the knowledge of when the Edim came knew when Aleph was. And there were some months where that wasn't important, but there were other months where that was extremely important. So for instance, if it's Nisan, and starting on the 15th of Nisan, you need to start celebrating Pesach, and you have to stop eating chametz on the afternoon of the 14th, morning of the 14th, and you don't know when Aleph is. Now, you do know when Aleph should be. You know that it's one of 2 days, because you know the month can either be 29 days or 30 days. But if you don't know which day actually became Rosh Chodesh, so then you don't know which day is Pesach. And therefore, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, and all the way until the time of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, we're going to be speaking now about three time periods. So our first time period is during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, and all the way until the time of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, which means the end of the time period of the Tanoim, let's say around the year 200 in the secular calendar. So everything was done on Piriya, and if you knew which day was the 15th of Nisan, so you only kept 1 day of Pesach, of Yontif, before the Chol Hamoed period. If you didn't know, you kept 2 days because of a suffix, because you didn't know, was it a 29-month day or a 30-month day? So you had to keep 2 days of Yontif, because you can't start eating chametz when you're not sure. So how did people know? If it was all based on knowledge, and that's the key point here in this first time period, it was all based on what you knew. If you knew which day was Yontif, you kept 1 day. If you didn't, you kept 2 days. And that's why the suffix was only 2 days, because there were only two possible days when Yontif could fall out. So how did they spread the information? So they spread the information originally with torches, meaning when Edim came on the morning of the 30th day, and they say they saw the new moon last night, which was the beginning of the 30th day, because the day starts at night in the Jewish calendar. So on the morning of the 30th day of the previous month, it's Adar, and they come on day 30 of Adar, and they say, we saw the new moon, which means that today's really Aleph Nisan. It's not the end of Adar. Today's Aleph Nisan. So in that situation, so at the end of day 30, as Rosh Chodesh is ending in the evening, they went up to a mountain and they lit a torch. Now, 20 miles away, on a mountaintop far, far away, where they could see, there were people waiting, because they knew that if today was Rosh Chodesh, there would be a sign. So they didn't just, you know, this was a very fast process. People were waiting for the sign. They knew that either tonight, they knew that the day that just ended was either Rosh Chodesh or the next day's Rosh Chodesh. So they would go out. If they saw a fire lit, that fire meant that the day that just ended was Rosh Chodesh. So again, witnesses came at night of the 30th, meaning the night before the 30th, or the beginning of the 30th, because the day starts at night. The 30th in the morning, based in were Makabel the Edim, and they proclaimed Mekudesh Mekudesh that day that they were in the middle of, that day is Rosh Chodesh. They would bring the Karban Musaf, and that would be Rosh Chodesh. Then that evening, as the day is ending, they went up to a mountaintop and they lit a torch. And there was a process. The Mishnah tells us in Rosh Hashanah and Chaf Beis, how they would move the fire up and down in order to do whatever they would do to a particular movements with the fire in order to show that this is the fire of Beis Din. Whatever it was, 20 miles away, 15 miles away, where people were waiting on the next mountaintop, and they were waiting to see if that day that was just ending was Rosh Chodesh, or if it's going to be the next day. When they saw the fire, they knew, oh, the day that's ending right now was Rosh Chodesh. Aleph, which means that the day that's about to start tonight and tomorrow is going to be Beis already. So when they saw it, they would light a fire, and 20 miles away from them would be another mountaintop where people were waiting. And as you can imagine, with people waiting and just lighting a fire, this word spread very, very quickly with the fires. And in a very short amount of time, in an hour, 2 hours, you were able to spread the word hundreds of miles, who knows, maybe even thousands of miles. So wherever the fire message was able to reach, and we imagine it reached, was able to reach pretty far. We don't know, I don't believe we know how late into the night they did it, but the message with the fires was able to spread, and everyone was able to know that today, the day that just ended, not really today, because it's the end of the day, that day that just ended was really Aleph, that was Rosh Chodesh. So there were certainly places I'm sure that couldn't see, if you lived very far away, or if you lived over the ocean, and there, you were out of sight of the closest mountains, so you didn't know, and you had to keep 2 days. But at that time, and this is the most important point, during this tekufa, during this time period of the Beis HaMikdash, all the way until Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Rebbe, so Rosh Chodesh was determined by the Re'iyah and the Yom Tovim. Anyone who knew what day was Rosh Chodesh was able to keep 1 day. Now this seems to be the case even if they knew based on calculations. There were certain Chachamim, often the Gullus, who knew the Sod HaIbor, which is the secret of how to determine when the they understood the astronomical calculations. And the indications are that they were able to rely on the fact, on Rove, and the fact that Mistama, the Sanhedrin, and the witnesses got the right day. And it seems that Chachamim, living far away, even if they were not able to see the fires, if they were able to come to a positive knowledge of which day was really Rosh Chodesh, they can keep 1 day. Even if they didn't know based on the fires. Because again, everything was based on did you know or did you not know. Now in this time period, just to point out, if a Ben Chutz Laretz was vacationing in Eretz Yisrael with his family, he would obviously keep 1 day. If you came up to Eretz Yisrael for Aliyah L'Regel to the Beis HaMikdash, you obviously kept 1 day. Why? Because you knew. And at this time period, everything was based on did you know or did you not know. Okay. Now, what's very important for us to realize during this time period is that there were Kutim, who were people of questionable lineage and questionable dedication to, I believe it was the Kutim, and not Tzdukim, but I believe it was the Kutim, the Mishnah says. So the Kutim, yes, yeah, Mishkilkulu HaKutim, the Mishnah says. Mishkilkulu HaKutim. So it was the Kutim. During the time period of Rebbe, Yehuda HaNasi, the Kutim started to ruin things. Why? How would they do it? Sometimes, if on day 30, in the evening, if the Beis Din had not received witnesses, which means that really the 30th was still part of the previous month, and the next day was going to be Rosh Chodesh, the Kutim started to go and light fires and on the mountaintop, unauthorized fires, which of course 20 miles away they didn't realize they were unauthorized fires, and they would light a fire, and then once it was out, it was out, and it ruined all of the people in the Gola, all the people outside of Yerushalayim, outside of Eretz Yisrael, even though no Edom came, and really Beis Din had not been proclaimed the new month, but because they saw the fire, they assumed that Rosh Chodesh had been proclaimed, and it ruined that month. And once that happened, because everyone thought it was a shorter month when it really was not, so once that happened, so Rebbe, the Yushalmi Rosh Hashanah tells us that Rebbe switched and to a new process. He was mevatel, he nullified the process of using the fires because of the Kutim's ability to ruin things. And you realize the Kutim didn't have to do it in Yerushalayim. They could go to any of the stop points and light a fire, And from that point and on, into the Gola, out into the diaspora, they would have thought that that current day had been Rosh Chodesh, when really, in fact, it had not been. Because you realize with the whole fire process, if they go up there, if in general, the different people on the mountaintops went up to see a fire, and they didn't see one, so they knew that the day that had just ended had not been proclaimed Rosh Chodesh, and they knew that automatically the next day was. And then they didn't need to light fires in that situation, because everybody knew that it was the second day was Rosh Chodesh. They only lit a fire when they were trying to proclaim the first day Rosh Chodesh, or to say that the first day had been proclaimed Rosh Chodesh. Now, once the Kutim ruined things, so Rabbi Yehuda Anasi switched to a different process and said, we can't light fires anymore. The Kutim are using that in order to ruin things for us. And therefore, he switched to sending shlichim, actual man messengers. Now, as you can imagine, to send a messenger on horse galloping at high speed will never cover the same amount of ground as a fire. A fire in an hour or two could spread hundreds of miles from mountaintop to mountaintop, covering tremendous distances, while horses, how fast can they run? You know, 6 miles, 7 miles, 8 miles an hour. I don't know how fast the horse runs. 20 miles an hour, I don't know how long they can gallop for, but you certainly can't spread the message nearly as quickly. And they had to rest, and they couldn't travel on Shabbos, and in Tishrei, they had to stop for 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and for Yom Kippur, and for Shabbos. So they switched to sending shlichim, but the shlichim was not nearly able to spread the word as quickly. In addition to that, it was besides the time-consuming element, it was a tircha. So the Mishnah tells us that they didn't send them out in every month. They only sent them out in certain months, in months that was absolutely necessary for people to know. So Nisan, it was absolutely necessary for people to know when Pesach was. In Kislev, they needed to know when Hanukkah was. But this was the takana of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And during this time period, though, we're still operating with the same principle, which is that everything is based on what you know. It's just that a lot less people knew now, because the process of spreading the word was not as effective, because we had to spread the word with horsemen as opposed to with fires. So even though knowledge was severely limited now, the rules still stayed the same. And therefore, if you knew, if the shlichim, if the messengers were able to reach you before Yontif, so if it was Nisan, they had, let's say, 14 days to get to you, but you have to subtract Shabbos. We were Mechal Shabbos for the Eidim to come, I believe, to testify for Kiddush HaChodesh, but not in order to spread the word out into the diaspora. So you had 14 days, let's say, until Yontif, but you had to subtract the Shabbos. So however far the messengers were able to reach, so that became the new line, that became the new gvul, the new boundary of between who kept 1 day and who kept 2 days. In order to account for this discrepancy between Nisan and Tishrei, because again, as I mentioned, in Nisan they were able to travel more days than in Tishrei. Nisan for Pesach, and in Tishrei, in order for people to know when Sukkot was. But in Tishrei, you had to overcome the Shabbos, you had to overcome Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. These were all times that they couldn't travel. And therefore, there would be a discrepancy. Communities who could not hear about the information for Sukkot were able to know for Pesach. And that created a strange reality where they might be keeping, for Sukkot, they would be keeping 2 days because they hadn't gotten the word, because they were just past where the shlichim were able to reach. But for Pesach, the shlichim had an extra day or two, and they were able to reach them. So they made a takana at that time. And this is the first time that we start to see, I believe, a formal takana. The takana was made that if the shlichim can't reach you by Sukkot, even if they could by Pesach, if they couldn't reach you by Sukkot, you had to keep 2 days. Oh, but for Pesach, we knew what was the first day, the people living in those towns. But we wanted to make sure that there was a certain equality between the Yom Tovim. And therefore, there was a formal takana made, you must keep 2 days. Which means that even if you knew, because even if the shlichim could, or theoretically you could have known, you still kept 2 days. So at this point, we are in the time period of the Amoraim. We begin the period of the Amoraim, right? Because we said this was a takana of Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, the very end of the Tanoim. And at the time period of the Amoraim, they're still being Mekadesh the Chodesh al Piriya. Remember, we said that went all the way until Rabban Abaye, which is the third generation of the Amoraim in Bavel. So they're still being Mekadesh the Chodesh based on Re'iya, based on witnesses. And we're still following knowledge, generally. Again, we talked about that Sukkot Pesach discrepancy, but in general, still following knowledge. But we do begin to see in the very beginning of the Amoraim period that different Amoraim understood differently what the status was, for instance, in Bavel. Bavel was beyond where the Shlichim were able to reach, which means that in Bavel they were always keeping 2 days at this point, but only because of a suffix. Again, if you were a Chacham who was knowledgeable in the secret of the Ibor, the Soda Ibor, you knew how to calculate, so then you would be able to keep 1 day, it seems. We have a statement of Shmuel in the Gemara where Shmuel says, in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf, Shmuel says that he would be able to get, he has the ability to let all of Bavel keep 1 day because of his knowledge of the Ibor, because we know that Shmuel, it's the contemporary of Rav, Shmuel was very knowledgeable in astronomy. Right, he says he knew the star, not the constellations necessarily, but all of the different paths of the planets and the stars. He knew it like the streets of his hometown in Bavel. That's how comfortable he was with astronomical calculations. But we see already a machlokas, because since year after year in Bavel they're keeping 2 days, so some Amoraim, it appears, began to look at it not just as a suffix, but that at some point it became a real minhag or a takana. This is the famous machlokas we have between Rav and Rav Asi. And a lot of, by the way, I just should point out, a lot of the pieces that we're putting together here in the different Gemaras, so a lot of this was written up by Rav Tukachinsky in his great work the name is escaping me at this moment, but he has a great sefer, a set of Sfarim, 3 or 4 volumes, where he discusses lots of different issues of Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh VeHamikdash, I think it's called, yeah. Ir HaKodesh VeHamikdash. So this is in Chelek Gimel, I think it's Perek Yud Tes in Chelek Gimel, where he goes through a lot of the, he puts together a lot of these pieces. So he notes that there's a machlokas, it's a famous machlokas, between Rav and Ravasi about a beitza, which is Nolta Bezez and Mutaris Bezez. If an egg is laid, is hatched, by a chicken on the first day of Yontiv in Bavel, and now it's the second day of Yontiv, because again they always kept 2 days in Bavel at this point because they wouldn't have the benefit of the fires anymore. They had the Shlichim, and the Shlichim weren't able to reach Bavel in time for Yontiv, so they were always keeping 2 days. So Rav says you can eat the egg on the second day because there's a suffix. One of those days is Yontiv and one of those days is not Yontiv. And therefore, if an egg was laid on the first day, you could definitely eat it on the second day. Because if the first day was Yontif, the second day is not, so you can eat it. And if the second day is Yontif, well, the egg was laid, and the egg was laid on the first day, so the egg was laid before Yontif. So that's what Rav holds. Rav Asi, though, says it's Asur. Nolde Bezez, Asur Bezez. Rav Asi apparently already held that at this point, even though it started as a suffix of knowledge, after a while, it just became so common in Bavel that they, well, not common, it became the standard that they always kept 2 days, even though if they had the knowledge, they could keep 1 day, and he seemingly, Rav Asi, at least theoretically, would agree to that. But after a while, after a certain number of years of always keeping 2 days, so it became a formal takana. So I'm bringing that up because that's going to introduce to us the second time period. And this is the time period starting with the statement that the Gemara tells us, Sholchu Mitam, which the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Yud Zayin, where they Yud Zayin and Beis there, they identify a lot of the anonymous, not anonymous, but the nicknames you might call it, Dayanei Bavel. Who's Dayanei Bavel? Whenever the Gemara says Dayanei Bavel, whenever it says Be'emes Omru, so sometimes it says in the Gemara Shalchu Mitam. You know, I don't know, a bunch of 20 times or so in the Gemara it says Shalchu Mitam, or a dozen times it's Shalchu Mitam. So what does it mean Shalchu Mitam? So the Gemara says that Shalchu Mitam is Rav Elazar. Now, who's Rav Elazar? So Rav Elazar in Mishnah, we know, is Rav Elazar ben Shamua. But Rav Elazar in Amoraim is Rav Elazar ben Pidas. Rav Elazar ben Pidas was an Amor in Eretz Yisrael. He was from Bavel, but he moved to Eretz Yisrael. And he, it seems like he learned by Rav Yochanan, but he assumed the role of, when Rav Yochanan passed away, Rav Yochanan, we know, was really first generation of Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish, and Rav Yochanan was the Rosh Shiva in Tveria. So when he died, Rav Elazar ben Pedas would come from Bavel, he took over his role as leader of the community. And he was the, you know, one of the Gedolei Ador in the second generation of Amoraim, second, third generation of Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. So Sholchu Mitam is Rav Elazar. And Sholchu Mitam means they sent, that's the Gemara in Bavli saying, they sent from over there, from Eretz Yisrael. So Sholchu Mitam, they sent from Eretz Yisrael the following rule. And that was, Hisharu b'minag avoseichem yadeichem. And this statement of Rav Elazar ben Pedas is seen as a ruling that any place where the shlichim don't reach must keep 2 days. Meaning it's an established minhag. What Rav Asi, we said a minute ago, Rav and Rav Asi had a machlokas about the beitza. So what Rav Asi maintained, so Sholchu Mitam, Rav Elazar ben Pedas is saying, this is what we're ruling for you in Bavel. It's no longer based on knowledge. It's now based on locale. It's based on location. If you live outside of the area where the shlichim could reach, you need to keep 2 days. Now, that means even those chachamim, the ones who were knowledgeable in the Sod HaIbur, so even those chachamim had to keep 2 days. And again, not because they had a suffix, because they don't have a suffix, they know. But now there's a formal takana, which is that anyone beyond the area of the shlichim keeps 2 days. So realize that in Eretz Yisrael at this time, they're still being Mekadesh Al Pi Chodin, Al Pi Re'iyah, and Al Pi the Eden. And anyone who knew, anyone who was in the perimeter of where the shlichim were able to reach, kept 1 day because they knew. Anyone outside of that boundary kept 2 days. But now, not because of a suffix, like in the first time period that we spoke about. Now, starting from Rav Elazar ben Pedas, now anyone in Chutz La'aretz, or anyone outside, we shouldn't say Chutz La'aretz, even though this is a discussion, the Ritva says Chutz La'aretz, but the Rambam says anyone who was outside of the area of the shlichim had to keep 2 days. Now we reach the third time period, and this is, we spoke about Rav Hillel Hanasi, who lived after Rava, right after Rava and Abaye, and this is when he established the calendar, and this is what the Rambam meant in Parakeh of Hilchos Kodesh HaChodesh, that up until the time period of Rava and Abaye, Rava and Abaye, third generation Amoraim in Bavel. So after Rav and Abaye comes Rav Hillel HaNasi, and he establishes the calendar. And that means that we no longer are doing Kiddush HaChodesh based on Re'iyah anywhere. Not even in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, we didn't really do it in Bavel except for that one time period. But the point is that now it's not based on knowledge anywhere. Knowledge meaning knowledge of when Edom came or knowledge of the Molad. Now in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, there was a formal calendar. But in Eretz Yisrael, they would follow the calendar, and they would keep 1 day of Yontif, because we know, now that we have a formal calendar, we know what day. Realize now Rosh Chodesh being 2 days in Eretz Yisrael is not connected. It's a separate point. Rosh Chodesh had its 2 days for the reasons that it needed, and now in Eretz Yisrael, they're keeping Rosh Chodesh for 2 days, Rosh Chodesh. But Yontif in Eretz Yisrael is now 1 day. Why? Because there's a formal calendar and they know which day. Now you would think that now that we have a formal calendar, in Chutz La'aretz also we should be keeping 1 day because we know what day is Aleph. But in Chutz La'aretz they continue to follow the formal takana of Rav Elazar ben Pedas. It was still active. That was our second stage. And therefore it continued. So just if we had to summarize the three stages, the first stage was a stage of completely based on knowledge. Wherever you were in the world, if you knew, you kept 1 day. If you didn't know, you kept 2 days. In the second stage, Rav Elazar ben Pedas, now in Chutz La'aretz, even if you know, it doesn't matter. You keep 2 days because it's a formal takana to keep 2 days. In the third time period, when we switched over to the calendar, and now everybody knows, but in Chutz La'aretz, it doesn't matter that you know, because there was already a formal takana of Chazal. That Chazal were misakein in a second day of Yontif in Chutz La'aretz. So, now you realize that this is a real din d'rabbanan. I mean, we're, and there's questions here. They're telling you to make, you're making motzi matzah in 2 days. Al regal achas, you would think that, what do you mean, this is okay, government Torah, it's bracha levatola, you're being mevatel the mitzvah of tefillin, okay, that's shevi al taisi, you're not putting on your tefillin. But we have to realize that this was a very far-reaching and significant takana to be misakin in the second day of Yontif. But Lamaisa, that is how I understand the historical progression of one day and 2 days, which means that we now come to Eretz Yisrael, we come to nowadays, to modern day, and those of us who live in Chutz Laretz, outside of the formal area, this is what I made reference to before, the Ritva says that the Takana was Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laretz. But the Rambam writes, no, the formal Takana was always based on where the Shlichim get to. Means Bavel, certainly if we live in the United States or in England, these are areas that the Shlichim at the time were not able to get to, and that means that when Rav Elazar ben Pedas made his Takana, so that Takana meant that anyone living in Eretz, in United States or in England had to keep 2 days, even when we have a calendar, even when we know. So Ad Kan, until now we've discussed what we're all familiar with, which is that we keep 2 days of Yontif in Chutz Laretz, not because we don't know, we do know, but because we are perpetuating the Takana that was made by Rav Elazar ben Pedas. So now the question, which we'll move into and we'll discuss just very quickly, is, well, what happens when someone from Chutz Laretz comes to Eretz Yisrael for Yontif? So here, there is a, in general, the halacha is that when you go from one place to another place, if you are daitolach, or if your plan is to go back, so you still have the status of the place that you came from. However, when you are in the new place, if the new place that you're visiting with your das to go back, if your behavior of following the practice of the place that you came from would lead to zilzol or would lead to machlokes, then you have to make sure to avoid machlokes. So let's give an example. So the Gemara tells us that Rav Bar Barhuna, there was certain food that was considered problematic from a kashrus perspective in Bavel, but in Eretz Yisrael it wasn't. So when he visited Bavel, he was technically allowed to eat this food because in Eretz Yisrael they paskin it was fine. But he wouldn't go around and sitting eating it in public because that would cause machlokas. So in private he was able to eat it. This food that in Bavel was ruled not kosher because where he was coming from in Eretz Yisrael it was accepted that it was kosher. So really, on a theoretical level, he's able to follow the practice of where he comes from. So this the Shulchan Aruch addresses when a Ben Eretz Yisrael, a person from Israel, goes to Chutz Laretz, because when he's in Chutz Laretz, he only keeps 1 day. When he goes to Chutz Laretz, they're keeping a second day. He's Daito Lachzer. He doesn't really need to keep that second day. And yet, if he would be doing Malacha and desecrating what appears to be a desecration of Yontif, so it would cause Machlokas, it wouldn't be appropriate. That's why, certainly in terms of Malacha, the Halacha is that when he's in a Yishuv Yisrael, when he's in a Jewish community, so he's not able to do malacha, even though he comes from Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael they keep 1 day, but in Chutz Laretz when he's visiting the United States, so they keep a second day, so he can't break Yontif because of this issue of machlokes and zolzol. What the Shulchan Aruch doesn't discuss is what happens when a ben Chutz Laretz comes to Eretz Yisrael. That's not discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. However, we do have shalos and tshuvas from the Beis Yosef, Efkas Rochel, and he writes in there, Rochel, and there he writes that as a Dover Poshet, that a Ben Eretz Yisrael, Ben Chutz Laretz, who comes to Eretz Yisrael, so he's coming from a place where the Takana is that he has to keep 2 days. He's Daito Lachzor, so he has to continue with that practice. He has to keep 2 days when he comes to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, even though in Eretz Yisrael they're keeping 1 day, and even though, this is the important point, this is something I think a lot of people like to say, and I think it's not correct. Even though it is correct that Bizman Beis HaMikdash, if you were a Ben Chutz Laretz and you came to Eretz Yisrael, you would keep 1 day. So doesn't that mean, Rabbi, that nowadays we should also keep 1 day? No, it doesn't mean that. Because Bizman Beis HaMikdash, everything went based on knowledge. Therefore, if you were visiting Eretz Yisrael, you knew. So you can keep 1 day. But nowadays, the reason in Chutz Laretz we're keeping 2 days is not because we don't know. We know also. It's because a Takana was made that in Chutz Laretz we keep 2 days. Therefore, if you're coming from Chutz Laretz and your plan is to go back to Chutz Laretz, you are a two-day person. You keep 2 days. And that's what the Beis Yosef writes in his Tshuvas, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, Yosef Karo, and that would seemingly be the way to act, and that is, I think we could say that's the general consensus That's the proper behavior, is to keep 2 days when you're in Chutz La'aretz. However, there was a famous tshuva from the Chacham Tzvi. So the Chacham Tzvi, by the way, Tzvi Ashkenazi, he lived in the 1600s and wrote very famous Shilohs and Tshuvas. So the Chacham Tzvi writes as follows. Realize that the whole, he was a Rav in Germany. There's other places as well, but is, I think we generally associate him with Germany. So the Chacham Tzvi writes as follows, that the whole source that when you are visiting a place, you keep your practice of where you came from. At least primarily, that's the attitude, that you keep where you came from. That's the lashon of the Mishnah there in Pesachim, is that you keep the chumras of the place that you came from. However, the Chacham Tzvi, this is the way I understand the tshuva, the way what he argues is that coming to Eretz Yisrael as a Ben Chutz La'aretz and keeping a second day of Yontif is not within the parameters of a chumra of the place that you came from. Let's go back to the example we brought before, Rav Abaye Rav Huna, that regarding him, that was a kula, but there was a halacha. I think the way to say it is like this. If Rav Abaye Rav Huna would move to Rav Abaye Bar Huna, if he would move to the second location, theoretically there would be nothing wrong with him continuing to eat the meat or eat the food that the place that he came from felt was kosher. Right, he was in place A where they paskin one way on meat. If he would go to place B where they paskin differently, theoretically there's nothing wrong with him following his initial practice. As opposed to here, if you live in Chutz La'aretz and you would move to Eretz Yisrael, it would be problematic for you to keep 2 days, because that would be Bal Tosef. So therefore, when you're visiting, even though you're Daito L'Hachzir, we can't just call this, oh, it's Stam, it's a Chumrah of the place that you come from. No, here in Eretz Yisrael, to keep 2 days is not just not what we do, it's problematic, it's Bal Tosef. And therefore, the Chacham Tzvi argues that, right? And think about it. What are you doing when you're keeping a second day? You're making brachos on that second day. You're not wearing tefillin at the end of Yontif. So is that really a chumrah to tell you not to put on tefillin and not to make extra brachos, that maybe brachos levatolo? And therefore, what the Chacham Tzvi basically argues is that the whole halachic, the whole din that you have to keep in the new place, what your practice was in the place you were coming from, since you're planning on going back, that only applies to certain things, and Yom Tov Sheni would not fall into that category, and therefore you would the halacha would be that if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you keep 1 day, like, and his lashon is the makom's gorim in Eretz Yisrael, that's the din, and therefore that's what you do when you're there. And again, because if you would move there, you would have to keep 1 day. So therefore, you can't even come and visit and say, well, I'm doing the chumrah of the place I came from. No, here it's a problem to keep 2 days. So this is what the Chacham Tzvi argued. Now, it happens to be that the poskim of his time didn't accept it. Even his son, Rav Yaakov Emden, didn't accept his father's psak. He writes with lots of kavod towards his father, but says that his father's position on this issue was not accepted. And for this reason, Rav Yashiv thinks that this is this opinion of the Chacham Tzvi is completely pushed off lahalacha, and we don't use it even b'tzeiruf of other, even with in conjunction with other approach or other tzadim, we don't take the Chacham Tzvi's approach. But there are others who are mekel and use the Chacham Tzvi's approach as like to build a case to be to a rule that you can keep 1 day. So, for instance, Rav Shlomo Zalman, I believe, in a tshuva writes that if you own property in Eretz Yisrael and you come for all three chagim, meaning Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, not just Pesach and Sukkot, but also Shavuos, so if you own property and you're coming for all three chagim, and in addition to that, we also have the shita of the Chacham Tzvi. Again, that's something that apparently Rav Yosher was not willing to do, but is what I'm heard, what I'm told, but the Shlomo Zalman said that once we have also the Chacham Tzvi plus these other factors, so then in such a situation a person can keep 1 day. There's also a discussion, I think it starts earlier with Rav Vaz, but some of the Rav Vaz Yosef, Moshe Feinstein talks about it. Someone who comes to Eretz Yisrael, a Bachar Yeshiva, and he comes for a number of years. He comes and there's no definite plan to go back, and maybe he'll meet a girl here and he'll stay. So there was also talk of about in that situation also relying on one day. But these are factors that are very much dependent on the metzias and the reality. If you have a ticket already to go back and you're enrolled in college for next year and you're planning on going back, it's hard to argue that that I might stay. On the other hand, if you're coming to Eretz Yisrael and you're saying, you know, I'm going to stay for at least 5 years and see how my learning goes, and maybe I'll go to a university in Eretz Yisrael, and so that's a whole different story then. There was another approach. Again, and even though I said that the Chacham Tzvi's opinion wasn't accepted, it wasn't completely not accepted. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, for instance, Chabad, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Balei Tanya, the author of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, so he accepts it. Well, he accepts it. He quotes it, and then he says Yesh Cholkim. So it sounds like he's accepting it. I believe that in Chabad they do rely on the Chacham Tzvi. But the consensus of overwhelming majority of poskim is not to accept it. Although there were those who accepted it partially, and this very famously, Rav Tokarczynski writes about this, Rav Shmuel Salant in Yerushalayim. So he accepted this, and this is what we refer to as a day and a half. Now there are many different variations of a day and a half, but a day and a half, from a certain perspective, really accepts the Chacham Tzvi. It says that the Chacham Tzvi is right. We can't tell you to make a motzi matzah again on the second day, and we can't tell you not to put on tefillin, because those aren't chumras. That's not a chumrah, and then the Mishnah says chumras. But not doing malacha, that's a chumrah. If you didn't do malacha in chutzlitz, so the argument is for 2 days you don't do malacha, but on that second day you don't do all of the positive mitzvos. So you don't make kiddush, and you don't make motzi matzah, and you don't daven a yontif davening, and I think you put on tefillin. So this is called a day and a half. It's a little bit of a misnomer. It's 2 days of malacha, but 1 day of actual yontif. So that's why it's not really a day and a half. It's more like a day and 2 days. It's some type of hybrid between a day and 2 days, because it's 2 days of isra malacha. So this approach is accepting the Chacham Tzvi, but not accepting it in a way that allows you to only keep 1 day. In other words, not accepting it in the way that the Chacham Tzvi intended it, seemingly, but suggesting that you should keep 2 days of malacha. So, again, the Rav Soloveitchik had his own variation of a day and a half. But Lemaisa, what comes out is we have to realize that and that's why we began with the whole discussion of Rosh Chodesh and being Mekadesh Chodesh al Pi Re'iya, that what really lays the foundation of 2 days of Yontiv and Chutz La'aretz is the same thing that obligates, in general, according to most poskim, obligates someone visiting Eretz Israel to keep 2 days. And that is the fact that there was this change from your observance of 2 days being based on a suffek, and it becoming based on a takana. And it's really the point where we see that tension is the machlokas Rav and Rav Asi about a beitzu shanol debzu, if it's muteris or asura on the second day. Well, there we see that question of suffek versus takana. But as we mentioned, after Rav Elazar ben Pedas, it was clearly instituted as a takana, and therefore that is why we keep 2 days in chutz la'aretz, and why, unless you have a direct posek, and there are poskim nowadays who rule like the Chacham Tzvi, but in absence of such a psak, so then the standard approach, and that what has certainly been accepted by the majority of poskim throughout the Doros, has been that you keep 2 days when you come to Eretz Yisrael.